In this mini episode of A Side of Data, we talk about sequential time-oriented event data and how this data type gives the beginning of process mining as a science able to understand and explain the phenomena described through that data type. Welcome to A Side of Data, a podcast about unconventional side of data science. Hello, welcome to A Side of Data podcast. And today, joining me here, Saimir Bala. Hello.
Hi, Anton. Thanks for having me here. I'm super excited.
And today we have a mini episode about process mining and its main use of process discovery. So how do you start, Saimir?
Yeah. Well, we can start as you prefer, but if you want, we can start with an example. A lot of people know about data, and a lot of people have data, and especially the data is generated from all possible different types of activities that people do. And well, one interesting type of data is the data that comes from traces. What are these traces? These traces are generated, for instance, when people do some sort of job. So we can take an example of a visa application. In a visa application, you have different people that want to apply for visa. And what these people do, typically, is that they have their own way to get informed about how you should properly do a visa application. But let's take an example. So we have two people. We have a first person who is quite a diligent person.
Okay, so that's me and you, because we apply.
That's us. So you are the diligent guy, and what you will do
So I would usually go to the website, read the information on the whatever visa center I need, collect documents, go to the visa application center or the embassy. Then I will submit all the documents, I will check if all of them are correct, and we'll wait for 1 month until notification arrives. Then I will probably go and collect my visa.
Yes, precisely. Yes.
So that's what's the problem? What's the problem with this?
That's what happens when you're a diligent guy. Not all the guys are as diligent as you. For instance, I'm very famous for forgetting things.
Okay.
And I would try to do the same thing as you. I would go to the website, look at the requirements for the visa, collect all the documents for the visa, but I would probably forget to include maybe a copy of my passport or my birth certificate or so. And I would just send the application. And after a month, I won't receive an email saying that your visa is ready, but I would probably receive an email saying, hey, you're still missing some documents, please come to this office, which might be different from the office that I went when I delivered my documents, and please integrate your documentation. And I would go there, and hopefully this time I got all the documents that they asked for. I would integrate my documentation. My application would be queued again. Maybe the same person will have a look at it, or maybe a different person this time will have a look at it. As you know, there are many clerks that work there. And finally, if everything goes right, I would receive an email and go to the final office, which might be different. As we know here in Vienna, for example, you have different offices from where you apply and when you actually retrieve your visa.
Okay.
And yes, finally, I would retrieve my visa.
So what you're trying to say is that the way you get your visa is different from my way to get
exactly
a visa.
And it might be also different from the way that other people get their visa. So now imagine all this data being stored into some sort of information systems that is able to actually record all these cases that happened. Well, this is actually now a treasure that we can look into and try to find out.
How would the data look like in this case?
So that's a good point. Typically, this data has some common thing, which is a notion of a case. So the data of your application is associated to your application. Imagine it as an identifier in a database where you...
You mean, so my application will have some ID?
Your application will have a sort of ID. And this is, of course, useful for the offices in order to track the status of your application, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you apply, after the first month, your status is still waiting, and then after some days...
So you want to say that if we want to retrieve this data and do some processing, some data science, data mining on it, we have, like, every person has, or every application has some ID. So basically, we could say that it will be a table where each row will be... one, for example, one step or one event in this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly. Imagine it as a table where you have a sort of ID, and in the first column and then in the second column you have the activity that is being done. So, for instance, application, now the application is ready to be checked, and then there is another person that does a different activity, which is actually the checking of the activity. Then there is a person who does the approval of the activity. This case, it's simple, but you might have these activities, for instance, in different order. You might have them multiple times, etc.
So yeah, the main point of this data type of applications is that it's time oriented, and if events happen in some sequence.
Yes.
They always, like, I apply and then I do something next, and this can be grouped into a case that is for me or for you. And
exactly.
We have multiple, many cases.
Yes, and there might be many activities for each of these cases.
Okay, so we have this data. What can we do with it?
Well,
what questions can we ask?
Yeah, so there are different questions that you can ask. Of course, there are classical questions that come from data mining, which are,
how many successful, for example, applications?
Yes, how many? Yes, I like this. And also other applications, also other questions like, once you do this activity, maybe you also do this other activity. So these are typical classic data mining questions. You can do even more with this data. So what you can try to do with data is that you can try to understand what is the typical process that is being done in order to handle the visa. So what is the process that a typical person should expect when he applies for a visa? And here it goes a little bit beyond the data mining discipline, as here we are using the process as a unit of analysis, and we are not we not only want to answer to questions like, okay, how many applications, if I do this activity, then I also do another one. But we really want to see all of the steps that are involved in the process.
So basically, we're not answering some particular small questions such as, okay, after I apply, what will happen next? But we're trying to see the general overview of the whole process and the general overview.
Yeah, precisely, yes. And we can then use this overview in order to understand typical maybe problems, so what can be maybe bottlenecks in this process, or we can, since we have also timestamps typically in these event logs, we can even see durations or answering to questions like, why does my application take a week, or why does my application take a month, which is a little bit going beyond this.
So basically, and this is the main question of process mining. Right?
Yes.
And if you look at it, the process mining is data extension to the BPM, that is business process management, right?
Yeah, we can look at process mining as a sort of bridge between data mining, because we are trying to extract information from data, and the classic BPM, the business process management disciplines.
And the business process management is looking more like, not from data perspective, but more from...
It is a business process management is a whole discipline that deals with different sides of how we can improve processes
is in organizations.
In organizations.
Such as visa process or
yes.
Any delivery
yes,
process.
Yes, exactly. So there are different ways in which you can improve processes, but process mining really includes this perspective of the data. So you can improve your process based on the data.
Business management usually has a model of the process, and that's why process mining is also working on these graphical representations such as models to integrate some information from the data.
Models are indeed very important in BPM, mm-hmm. As they are actually used very extensively for different things, to communicate with people, to implement or better to actually analyze the processes in terms of activities, in terms of steps, in terms of what should be done when and by whom. So process mining really does this bridge by actually retrieving models that look like business processes from the data.
Okay, so back to the data. We have now data that is time oriented, and in process mining we call it event log.
Yes.
And event log has traces that is particular cases of behavior such as my application
exactly.
or your application.
Your application or yeah. my application.
And process mining, of course, it's a huge field or becoming a bigger
yes.
field now as a kind of subset of data science. And let's talk maybe slightly about the main part and in general what parts of process mining exist.
All right. So there are three different types of process mining. There is process discovery, in which you can discover a process model from an event log. But you can do much more because you can also do the second type of process mining, which is conformance checking. And conformance checking works with an event log and an already existing model and tries to see what are deviations between the two.
So basically to find some problems actually, for example, you brought some wrong documents and your application still got accepted. And then with this, the model of the process, it shouldn't happen, but the real data shows that it happened. So that's why you can find and basically find that guy who accepted you and punish.
Exactly, you can do that, or you can see the other way around. So if my application got accepted, but this was not described in the model, maybe the model is wrong. Maybe the people found a better way to do the process.
So this is process enhancement.
This is still conformance checking. And process enhancement. It again takes as input a model and an event log. But the goal here is to enrich, for example, the model with further data that are present in the event log but were not in the model.
Okay.
For instance, which is the person that does a certain activity? Or how long does it take from one activity to another activity? Or how much does an activity last? So all these kinds of information that are present in the event log, you can use that in order to improve your process model.
Okay. But let's talk about more about the first and the main thing is about process discovery.
Yes.
There are many tools available currently that basically do process mining, that you import any data that you have that has a notion of being time-oriented or just a sequences, and you can discover models, and that's called process discovery. But what's the main benefit of discovering process discovery?
Yes, as you say, process mining is becoming really popular now, and it's really easy to find a lot of tools that in which you can just import your data, and by simply pressing a button, you can already retrieve a process model
yeah.
out of your data set. Yes, process discovery is still one of the main, the strongest point of process mining, and is the most popular type of process mining. And in process discovery, you basically try to discover process models out of this data, And so far it is really, really simple. You just need a data set that has typically these tools want that you have this with timestamps.
Mm-hmm.
Although in process mining this is not necessary. What you really need is that you must have a case ID. So which are the different cases,
yeah,
and an activity ID. So which are the activities that are performed within the same case.
And they should be in some sequence.
They should, right. They should be stored. They can, for instance, be stored in a CSV file, in an Excel file,
mm-hmm,
or they can be stored in the standard process mining XCS format.
But what's the point? Because as I know, I mean, we work actually in industry, we work in academia, and we know that there are like 2-3 different algorithms come up every year to enhance process discovery. So what's the main problem? What's the main issue that you need to revise and revise those algorithms to make them better?
Yes, there are several issues associated to process discovery. As you can imagine, it is not that easy to discover the best process out of the data, especially...
Generalize the process, it's not easy.
Yes, there are different things when you look into process discovery, because you want to have several aspects. First of all, you want... So the general question is that you want to trust the models that come out of this process mining technique.
Mm-hmm.
And this means that the model should be able to describe your data,
yes,
but they should also be able to generalize a little bit from the event log.
So describe, it's a fitness.
How
fit is the model that you discover and to the event log that you basically from the data.
Well, that's exactly the term that is being used.
Okay.
Fitness. Fitness, so you want a good fitness from between your model and the data. So you don't want the model to be overfitting, which means that the
it's
model...
It's just huge model describing every case.
Exactly, exactly.
That's why we want generalization.
Yes, and because you can very well imagine that a huge model like this is not very usable. It's not very easy to analyze and understand. So you want somehow to be able to... to have a broader picture, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine that the person that analyzes these logs might be a CEO, so a person that does not really know the details, does not really
yes.
have the time to go in the details, but he knows very well the process
yes.
that should be done.
Because in this example that we talk about Visa, there can be so many things happening, like not how it's planned, but we want to probably show somewhat general model, not describe every guy forgetting every different
precisely.
Document. That's why there will be like millions of different paths in the model, but we want to make it general. And I guess also we want to make it simple. So there's such a notion as simplicity.
There is simplicity, but although simplicity is not very well defined in terms of it cannot really
yeah,
be calculated.
How can you say
yes.
that it's simple or not?
Simple is what people think that is simple, so
yeah.
usually smaller models are simple. So you would like to have what is already actually present also in many tools, that you have several parameters with which you can tune these process mining algorithms, and you can change basically the size of your model that you're getting, so by abstracting more or less. So there is a fourth dimension, and this is precision. And precision is a little bit the opposite of generalization, because with precision we do not want the model to underfit the log. So we want the model to describe the log quite precisely, yes,
mm-hmm.
let's say. Yeah. So a challenge of process mining is to balance between these four aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And we say that, okay, the informative process, the good process is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, there have
yes.
been a lot of fight between these metrics in literature, because they're all described in a, like, you can discuss about them, but how to measure them, it's very hard.
Yes, especially simplicity
yeah.
and such.
So I think the main challenge of algorithms to discover the model is to basically first, of course, to be good with these four dimensions, mm-hmm. but also, for example, discovering the parallel events or the loops in execution from the raw data.
Yes, there are, of course, depending on the process mining algorithm, there are a lot of challenges. One example is, for instance, the alpha algorithm, which is the basic algorithm for process mining, which is also not very much used in practice. So in practice, we have more advanced algorithms now. But one instance is that when the alpha algorithm came out, it could discover certain type of processes. And it was not possible, for instance, to discover short loops with the alpha algorithm.
So for example, if I submit and then I get notification and then I submit documents again and then get again request for more documents and then submit again,
yes.
You cannot discover this
The alpha algorithm would have had problems with this. So would have, for instance, not discovered this going back and forth, but come up with a model that is sequential, for instance. So yes, there are several challenges that are more technical challenges when it comes to this algorithm, but these are continuously improved every year. So currently, I think we have quite good algorithms.
Yeah. So what tool can you recommend someone to use right away, just to try process mining?
Well, there.
Can you recommend the academic prom?
I think yes. I think that's the state of the art tool that has the most the newest algorithms. Although
so it's prom from Eindhoven Process
University.
Mining Group.
Yes. So
yeah. So it's an academic tool everyone can install for free.
Just Google prom.
Yes. And
process
try
mining.
Try on your data.
And try on your data.
Models.
Yes. Maybe try with using the algorithm, or maybe simply try with using the inductive miner, which is the basic algorithm that it is automatically run when once you import the log.
Yeah. So I guess we can also make some other episode about comparing different tools and giving suggestions. Huh. But yeah, for today, it's I think it was a good introduction to process mining.
Yes, and we hope that everybody will now try process mining on their data.
Yes, try and give a feedback about it.
Yes.
So, thank you, Samir, for joining me.
It's my pleasure.
Yes, and let's wait for another episode.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Okay.
Thank you for listening for this mini episode of A Side of Data. Reach us out at Twitter at asideofdata or via email asideofdata@proton.com.